You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, happy Saturday, and welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week podcast. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. It was kind of a quiet week around Chiefs Kingdom. We really only had a couple of shows this week. It is the off season, so got a lot of guys taking some time off, trying to relax and get ready for the upcoming NFL season. So on today's show, we're going to start things off with the Arrowhead Pride Editors Show. Pete Sweeney and John Dixon discuss the top five things they were going to pay attention to at this week's Chiefs OTAs. After that, we're going to take a quick time out. Then when we get back, we will hear from our friends on the Great British Chiefs Show as they discuss some of the biggest obstacles the Chiefs are going to face in the 2022 season that could keep them from getting back to a Super Bowl. I do want to remind you guys that as OTAs continue to happen in Kansas City, we will have those press conferences up on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. So if you're not caught up there, please check out From the Podium. We heard from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Justin Reid this week. But you're here for Best Of, so let's kick it off with the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show.
Back here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, we are wrapping up with the five things that I'm watching heading into Kansas City Chiefs OTAs and the media look that comes with Thursday and the next three Thursdays. We'll finish, of course, with the AP Twitter poll to see what you guys thought about the question that I asked this morning. But let's start here, John. I will count these down for you. I'm excited to go see these guys because I got to go to rookie camp, and rookie camp is fun for about 15 minutes. And then you say to yourself, well, 70 of these players I'm never going to see again. So I would rather go to the 90-man veteran included inclusive camp. But that happens finally tomorrow, so I'm excited about it. And here we go. As it turns out, my number five thing that I will be watching for is on offense is Rojo getting mixed in first in drills. I know that it is months and months and months and months and months away, but who goes first in these drills matter. I'll tell you, and I'll give you a very obvious example. Chad Henne ain't going to be taking the first quarterback snaps, right? So it means something. And so I just wonder how they mix in their running backs now that you'll have veterans in camp and you have second and third year players and a Derek Gore and even a rookie in Isaiah Pacheco. I'm just wondering how they rotate running backs.
I think that's an excellent thing to be watching for, just because we've been discussing it. Yes. You know, we just spent quite a bit of time discussing the possibility that Rojo could be the guy. I think that's an excellent point.
All right, so that is number five. Let's move on to number four. And we mentioned this one earlier today, too. So it's working out here where we're paying off our teases. Darren Kennard and where he's lined up. Is this a situation where Andy Reid is so confident in the fifth-round rookie that he begins giving him offensive line snaps immediately at right tackle with the first team? I tend to think no, not for OTAs. I think that might be something that you see at mandatory camp and even more likely at training camp. Andrew Wiley would be the right tackle in the mix there. But it's important because if, let's say, tomorrow we get to the media look and Kennard is on the first team at right tackle, or at least as we sort of alluded to with the running backs, mixing in, that's a big time statement that the Chiefs not only, I think, see him as a potential right tackle, but want him to win the position, which is a big part of this.
I think that's a good point too, but I would caution that that will largely depend on Niang's situation, right? If he's available, what do they do then? If he's not available, then your choices are Kennard and Wiley.
I do not anticipate Niang on the field tomorrow, but you never know, right?
Right.
Well, that's part of why we go.
And if he's dressed, if he's out there and Kennard is getting those snaps or maybe getting mixed in, that tells us a lot more than it would if he's not available. That's the point I'm making.
Sure. I tend to think it's still going to be a Kennard and Wiley thing. And what I expect to see is Wiley with the top team, because Andy Reid tends to favor veterans, at least at the beginning.
And they like Wiley. They like Wiley a lot.
They like Wiley a lot. Or at the very least, mixing in. So remains to be seen. All right, that's number four. All right, here we go. Number three, Trent McDuffie and how he's lining up. Are the Chiefs still pushing Lejarius Sneed inside in the nickel and dime sets, or are they mixing McDuffie and Sneed, or is it just McDuffie and Sneed locks into one of those positions that, you know, we saw Charvarius Ward do before he became a San Francisco 49er. McDuffie is a player that is expected to start week one. We have noted that we did see him shifting in during this rookie camp. Sneed was not there. So, you know, it is absolutely necessary to stay that. Now that Sneed will be there, is this something that he will be doing alone? Will he be taking his turns at it? As the Chiefs start to figure this thing out, I think it'll be really pertinent to watch where McDuffie is lining up.
Excellent point again. I personally think that McDuffie is going to be the outside guy. Yeah. I think they like Sneed on the inside. They want Sneed to get some snaps on the outside, which is right. Why they had him listed as the starter. Then he moves inside for most of the sub package looks, which amount to, you know, what is it, 80% of the defensive scheme. But I think they like Sneed on the inside. Now yeah. They're probably going to want to see what McDuffie can do on the inside just to check off that box and to know what will happen if Sneed gets hurt, for example, et cetera.
Right.
But I think Sneed is the guy they want on the inside. I think what we're going to see is McDuffie on the outside.
Very quickly, too, like a good point of this is, yes, I mean, the Chiefs took him with the 21st overall pick and expect him to start day one, but he's still a rookie, right? And it's easier for him to work the outside and learn on the fly maybe that slot position as the year goes on than just putting him in this really changing dynamic position where he has to play multiple roles for the Chiefs. I also think like a subplot of this, and this is not, I'm not ticking to the next one. A subplot of this is, okay, so I think all of us can agree McDuffie and Sneed are two cornerback starters. Who's the other guy? Right now, I'd say Rashad Fenton, right? He had a really nice, quiet breakout year last year, but he may be pushed for that position. Is it DeAndre Baker? Is it Joshua Williams, the fourth rounder? Is it Lonnie Johnson, who the Chiefs traded for and brought in? Is it a Jalen Watson, who the Chiefs took late? I just wonder if you start to see something brewing there. I know that, as the Chiefs will always say at these press conferences, they really embrace the competition. But I think that's a subplot of the cornerback room. But I think it's Fenton's job to lose right now.
I'd agree with that. I think he really impressed the Chiefs last year. I think it's his job to lose. I think that's exactly right. And I think there's a couple of players from last season that we're not even talking about. You know, your DiCaprio Boodles and so on and so forth. We're not even talking about those guys.
What about Luke Barkou? All-time
right,
name.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of options there to hold up the back end of that position group. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Let's see the return of Devin Key in the safety room.
Exactly.
All right. Number two. I mean, we haven't talked about the king, right? Patrick Mahomes throwing to new receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Sky Moore for the first time in person. If you're thinking about the biggest Chiefs storyline this year, it's how are they going to replace Tyreek Hill? That's it.
Right.
I mean, it's the biggest Chiefs storyline. And number two for me plays into that. How does he look? What is his timing? Does the offense look like something that can be replaced by Juju and MBS? How fast is MBS? I've never watched him run in person. Sky Moore, how quickly does he come along? And does he look like a day one contributor? Because, you know, we can almost know that about a Trent McDuffie, but I think we have to see it in Sky Moore. And so I think we start that process on Thursday.
I think that's a good point. And that's going to be the part that you're going to be able to get the most information about. In fact, in drills like you're going to be seeing tomorrow, because
it's more offense.
They don't run a lot of running plays in those drills. It's mostly passes.
Right.
And so that'll be one of the things that you'll be able to get the most information about in this very first look at the team, I think.
Hopefully we wait until the preseason till we see any violence from Leo Chenault. I know he loves violence. Maybe wait a few months, right?
Okay. Right.
And number one, and I gave this the slight edge over the last one. It could have been the last one. I told you why about the Tyreek Hill thing, but I'm just excited. I really like the way George Karlaftis looked in this rookie camp. Just a man amongst boys, as they say. I want to see him against the regular Chiefs offensive line and, you know, to see if he's doing to the regular offensive line what he was doing to the rookies. And a part of that, too, will be, is Orlando Brown there? I'm hoping that I get to see this, but, you know, I tend to think maybe not. You know, we don't really necessarily know who are the tackles that he's going against. They will be better than they were in rookie camp, but is it even going to be the guys that we're waiting for? But I want to, I guess my number one thing is more Karlaftis, especially now the veterans are around.
I think that's an excellent point too. I'm excited about this player. I'm excited that it was the guy that Spagnuolo wanted. So I think that means a lot, you know, that this is the, what's that?
It's so he said, but I trust him.
Sure. But it's better than him just saying, oh yeah, I'm glad to have him. You know, that he seemed very excited about it. And I like that. And it would help explain why there's been so little action on bringing in additional defensive edge rushers during this offseason, which I know is a big question mark for a lot of fans. It's a question mark for me too. If Veach was the one who said, this is going to be my emphasis. We're going to do some stuff on the defensive line. And those moves have not been very numerous. And I get why people are concerned about it. And I think I'm a little concerned about it, but it might make sense if we go out there and see Karlaftis is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that will make all of this concern we have a little less of a concern, I think, if we see that right away.
Yeah, man, I would still love to see them add one more veteran body to that defensive line. I just think they need it.
Just for safety's sake, if nothing else.
Right. Well, again, OTA's media starts tomorrow. We'll keep you covered at arrowheadpride.com. A number of our contributors are excited to write about some of the quotes that we get. It'll be the first time we talk to some of the more popular veteran chiefs in a long time. So eager to see what everybody's saying, especially coming out of what has been a really, I think, transition type of offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, John, let's wrap up with our Chiefs Twitter question of the day. Don't look. As a Chiefs fan, I asked on Arrowhead Pride's Twitter, do you still believe Kansas City is the best team in the AFC? What do you predict happened with this poll? It's either yes or no.
I'm going to say...
Wait a minute. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
We have to build in. It's not like across the board, everyone that follows Arrowhead Pride Twitter is a Chiefs fan. I think most. And I only made the poll an hour so that these jerk fans from other bases like the Raiders and the Bills and the Broncos didn't sneak in. And
you're always thinking, Pete. You're always thinking.
It was an hour long. So I think we got a pretty good read on this. But how do you think it went?
I'm going to say 40% yes.
Way low.
Really? Okay.
81% of
wow.
And we got 2,600 votes. Believe that the Chiefs are still the best team in the AFC.
Well, okay. I'm not arguing with them.
Now, the consensus around the league, I think, would be that the Chiefs are two behind the Bills. Which to me, and I'm assuming that a little bit, that's just like a little maddening considering they lost to them in the playoffs. I understand the circumstances of it. You know, and I understand that the rule was changed, but I don't like looking around nationally and having the Chiefs behind the Bills having beat them. Now, you could turn around and be like, well, Pete, should the Bengals be ahead of the Chiefs? Well, I could handle that more because the Bengals, what was the one thing that hurt them last year was the offensive line, and they improved that, and they went to the Super Bowl, and they almost won the Super Bowl. So if you want to put the Bengals ahead of the Chiefs, do it. I don't like to see the Bills ahead of the Chiefs, and I'm going to get off my Kansas City soapbox, but I could buy if the Chiefs the best team in the AFC. Yeah.
If the Chiefs had beaten the Bengals, if the Chiefs had gone back to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs would be ahead of the Bills. There's no question about that.
I know.
But I think that because they lost to the Bengals, it's easy for the media to go, well, that they were overachieved last year, and that just showed the Chiefs were lucky to win that playoff game over the Bills, and therefore the Bills are the better team. I mean, I see the logic that's being used there. I don't know that I necessarily agree with it, but I understand the logic of the position to put the Bills at the top and the Bengals, you know, a few spots behind the Chiefs, as we typically see in these power rankings these days.
I'm pleased
that Peter, so many Chiefs fans are in, though.
Peter King not only had the Bills ahead of the Chiefs, but the Chargers as well. So we got our first national head in the first power rankings of the offseason to put the Chargers ahead of the Chiefs. It's Chargers season. They always win May, so congratulations to them.
Well, in the space of 25 minutes, we've talked about Justin Ross's one-handed grab and the prospect of Sky Moore being Offensive Rookie of the Year. So
I'm all for it.
I don't know what we're worrying about. Tariq who? But no, we are in a position where like the ceiling for this Chiefs receiving group is so high. So high.
If you mentioned Scantling, that in the last one, didn't you? You mentioned that.
Did I say that in the last show? Well, then I won't repeat myself soon.
Well, I'm glad you did because you're right. The ceiling is high. I feel as though it can be.
I feel like it's a really low floor as well. By the way,
yeah,
it's a really low floor, but a really high ceiling as well.
Potential-wise, yeah.
And if we end up in the middle ground this year, then it's still going to be probably better than last year. If you add Travis Kelce's productivity into that, obviously that takes it up a notch. But yeah, there's all this potential in this receiver room now, when all young guys, and if Justin Ross can be one of those guys, can nail down a roster spot and potentially come in and make some plays and go up, live up to his 2019 tape, then who knows? The sky is the limit, and there's no pun intended with Sky Moore. Maybe that's something we can. That's maybe the new nickname for the Chiefs receivers. The sky's the limit.
Oh, I like that.
Maybe.
I like that.
Yeah. We've moved on from Legion of Zoom.
Legion of what?
Legion of whom?
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because have you seen the Dolphins are trying to nick that nickname?
Nick it or rebrand it as their own?
Nick it. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to nick it. They're trying to take it from us, Tom. It's ours. It's Chiefs.
Those pesky Dolphins. First they take Tyreek, then they take Melvin Ingram, and now they're trying to take our nickname. You may take Melvin Ingram,
but they'll never take our freedom.
I know. They're trying to take everything. They're just trying to be the Chiefs.
Yeah. Maybe
I think that's what it is. I mean, you know, yeah, it is flattering, I suppose, but stop it.
Pesky Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The main part of the show.
Sorry, complete sidetrack. It's that South Park episode where the Japanese are killing all of those dolphins and whales.
I've not seen that one.
Okay. Yeah. They walk around saying explicit. So if you dolphin, you whales, and basically they're killing a load of dolphins and whales. And there's actually one point when they're actually rocking to Hard Rock Stadium, and they kill a load of all the Dolphins players, and the team they're playing in that particular game happens to be the Kansas City Chiefs. the whole reason why the Japanese are killing dolphins and whales is because South Park went on this really weird storyline that apparently the Americans sold the story to the Japanese that it was actually whales and dolphins that was piloting the Enola Gay that bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh my God.
So, you know, South Park just going off on the tangent as it does. Yeah. as it does. But yeah, it just like next time I see a dolphin fan, I'll just turn around and go, if you dolphin, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that to see what the hell you're on about, mate. I really am. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to watch that one.
Yeah, try and watch it sober, because it won't make much sense if you've had a drink.
It makes sense anyhow, does it, South Park? No. All right, let's get on to the main part, though. One of the main parts of the show was you had an idea, didn't you? We actually put a tweet out asking about this, asking Chiefs Kingdom. the obstacles. What are the obstacles the Chiefs might face to reach the Super Bowl this year? And it's safe to say you had a lot of tweets.
Yeah.
Yeah, very large amount of tweets that you had.
Yeah, everyone seemed to have an opinion on this particular idea. So yeah, this is something we done last year. Mm-hmm. We done this exact week. We ran this exact same segment, and you know, May 26th, we've talked about it, running out of ideas. We need to steal content, so we're stealing content from ourselves from last year. And I had a listen to last year's show, and it's surprising to see it's not very surprising to see that the answers that we've got via Twitter are very similar to the answers that we were getting last year.
Really?
Yeah. Apart from one big difference, and an answer that come up so many times yesterday and today from Neil Blair, from Duncan Smart, from Yeet Diddy, from David Way, from all these other people, Jadu Duval on Twitter, from Kay Shager chasing the next beer, that's his actual name on Twitter, lack of pass rush. We didn't bring this up last year. No. We didn't think it was going to be a problem last year because we sat here and said, oh, Chris Jones is going to be a defensive end. We're going to be absolutely fine. And that's going to work out a treat, where everyone is worried about the lack of pass rush. And that out of all the answers that we got, that was the most consistent. Mm-hmm. Is the one obstacle that's going to be in our way for making the Super Bowl is ourselves, and is our own internal problem, but it is the lack of pass rush. And I agree.
Yes. I think you're right. I do remember the conversation we had about, we'll be fine because Chris Jones is going to be, you know, he's slimmed down a bit. He looks ready. He's quick off the line. He's going to be a great defensive end. And that it couldn't have gone any worse, I think, for that project. It was a project that I suppose was worth trying because he obviously felt that he could do that role effectively. But it's very much more than just getting to the quarterback. And you know, we all know that obviously defensive ends have got to set the edge and all that, and be a lot more than, like you said, just a quick guy that gets to the quarterback. So I'm with Chiefs Kingdom on this. It is a big worry. I mean, yes, we've got George Karlaftis, and we've
Slovakia with the sacky.
You're gonna make sure you get that in, aren't you, every time? Yeah. Slovakia with the sacky. And then we've got the slightly unimpressive Frank Clark. It's not really something to go on if you're planning on, you know, pass rush has been your main game or main kind of defensive strategy. Having a rookie and somebody who didn't really seem to be bothered last year.
Yeah, and when you've got a defensive coordinator whose whole game is built on man coverage and getting after the quarterback. I look at that AFC title game and Joe Burrow was like the most sacked football last year.
Yeah.
And outside of the first half in Cincinnati, the next three halves of football we played against the Bengals in last year, we hardly laid a glove on him. What's going on? The pass rush was just inept. And that's with Melvin Ingram in there. I do feel like the pass rush is going to be a little bit better because I do like the look of Karlaftis. But it's the depth pieces that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
It's like if Frank Clark's healthy and that's a big what if, then maybe he can be a difference maker. We can go back to 2019 when he was very good in the postseason and get that type of form out of him. But if he's not healthy, then he's just the guy. Chris Jones can just eat double teams all day. Because that's what he'd be facing. He'd be facing double teams and he'd be left to this rookie. Like, what's a good season for Karlaftis? What? I'd be happy if he got 7-8 sacks.
Yeah.
When realistically, we're going to need him to contribute 10 plus. If the other guys aren't doing it, we need to get sacks from somewhere. And they can't be all from blitz pressures. They can't be off the edge. They can't be from linebacker and blitzing from the corners coming off. It can't be all from that. We need our four guys up front to get pressure on the quarterback. And if Karlaftis is only getting 7 and Frank Clark's only getting 7 and Chris Jones is getting 10, that's only 24 sacks.
Yeah.
That's not a lot from your three top guys, is it? So we need someone else to step up. Who's that going to be? I don't know. But in a league where teams seem to be adding pass catchers and pass rushers. The Chiefs seem to be a little bit behind at the moment in adding top tier pass rushing talent.
Yeah, quite light in that area, aren't we, for sure?
But we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah, I'd like to be wrong about this. I really would like to be wrong. And I'd love to see Frank Clark, his form, like before he came to the Chiefs, you know, you know, the form he had then at the Seahawks. And hopefully we get that from Frank Clark. But I don't know what was wrong with him last year. He's in a perfect situation. He's got Chris Jones right alongside him. He's got, you know, Melvin Ingram with him as well. And you would have thought Frank Clark would have eaten from that. And he really didn't. I don't know what it was. Just something wasn't clicking in gear. But we'll leave that one. What are the other ones that you've got on there, obstacles?
Okay, so a few people brought up the schedule, which we've not talked about because the schedule got released after our last show.
It did.
And I think the schedule's a fair point. The schedule is the first half of it is the toughest schedule in NFL history. And that's what happens when you're a good team and you play in a good division. You play a lot of hard games. Yeah. But the Chiefs this year seem to be playing a schedule which is just unlike anything we've ever seen in NFL history. Mm. It is just an absolute gauntlet of a schedule. There's some breaks every now and then with the likes of the Texans and the Jags. But outside of that, the Chiefs are going to have to bring at least a B-plus game every single week just to try and get some wins. And if they're not on top of it, then there's a potential there that they lose the bye. And losing the bye will be detrimental to this Chiefs team's chances of making the Super Bowl. They absolutely need that bye next year. They need that bye because the playoffs last year was a gauntlet themselves. But next year, you're looking at these AFC teams and you're thinking all seven of them, like regardless, if you could name any seven teams that you think are going to make the playoffs, and it would be a gauntlet. So getting the bye is key.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs have been lucky in the sense that they've ended up hosting the AFC Championship game regardless. But that extra week off would just make such a difference. But I just think the schedule is going to make it so much harder for the Chiefs to get to that position. It's brutal. I don't know what the Chiefs have done to annoy the schedule makers, but I don't know. They slapped someone that they shouldn't have because that schedule is horrific.
Yeah, you're right. The Chiefs schedule, I don't remember. I think I remember tweeting this out. I don't remember the last time we had an easy schedule. Like, I think somebody said to me, was it 2013? I think it was.
Yeah, but that's down to the opponents. That's because we were the worst team in the league, and we were obviously fourth place in the AFC West, which enabled us to play a load of fourth place teams in the AFC. And obviously, the AFC was bad back in 2013. There wasn't as many top teams. This year, like obviously we knew the opponents coming into the schedule being released. But I'm not normally one for saying, the order in which you play makes much of a difference. But this year, I think it does. I do think there are no breaks. You've got a little bit at the end where the Chiefs get to go on a run and potentially reel off some wins. Yeah. I think they play the Seahawks, the Jags, the Texans, and maybe the Raiders. And that could be a nice little run for them. But that could be too late. Like the Chiefs traditionally under Andy Reid have been extremely streaky in one way or another. It's either they win a load of games in a row or they lose a load of games in a row. There's not much in between. If they lose one or two early in the year and then they go on a streak of losing games because their opponents are so hard, then they've got all that catching up to do. And their schedule isn't as fair. This isn't 2015 when we went 1-5, but then somehow the NFL schedule just like put a load of gimmies in front of them for the last 10 games of the season. So they could score 13 points against the Browns and somehow beat them at home. Like that's not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to need to be on top of their game just to get 10, 11 wins this year. Like if they are average, if they're an average Chiefs team, they will end up with an average record. They that's not like years past. An average Mahomes day would get you a few wins. This year, that's not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to have to be good consistently to get the record that they want to get them a bye.
I've actually got a list of the top five hardest strength of schedules from PFF.
Okay.
And Chiefs are top, obviously, as you've mentioned. Patriots second.
Yeah, that makes sense. Division.
Dolphins third.
Again, makes sense. Division.
Raiders fourth.
Yeah.
Bills fifth.
have you seen the trend in that, the pattern in that?
Exactly.
All AFC teams.
All AFC teams, yeah.
All AFC teams. What division does the AFC East play this year?
Oh.
What NFC division? It's got to be the West.
Oh, it probably is.
So we play the West. We play the West. They must be playing the South then, I'm guessing.
It sounds like it's something along the similar lines of what we are, because yeah, it seems very strange that the top five there, the hardest schedules, are all AFC.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's probably going to help us a little bit better if we have got the hardest schedule, that if we've got every other AFC team having a hard schedule, especially the likes of the Bills and the Raiders, you know, it's probably going to help us out a little bit and average it out or even it out a little bit more. But
You're right. You are right. You make a good point, and I've been guilty. And I've just been guilty for forgetting about it for the last 2 or 3 minutes. Those teams have to play us,
yes,
as well.
Yeah,
that's so. There's me saying, "Oh, I fear them. I fear this stretch of the schedule." Yeah. But those teams are also circling Kansas City and going, "Well, we'll put that down as a loss."
Yeah,
and if we manage to get a win, then great. But right now, they're looking at that game as a defeat. And this is where I need to remember that, and Chiefs Kingdom, and it's hard to get used to. It is a hard fact to get used to. But we are a Titan right now.
Here we go. This is you being the Patriots type Chiefs fan. But
we are a Titan of the NFL. Like, who else?
It's so
who
arrogant else? As a Chiefs
but
fan.
But we are... We are the big cheese of the NFL right now. Like,
yeah.
Do you disagree?
No, no, I agree with you, but I just don't say it as often as you.
I'm good
look
for
at
these.
Me. Look yeah. at us. We're awesome.
So we'll do the over under at 30 minutes of whether I say it next show or not, or when I say it the next show. But we are a Titan, and I need to rein it in a little bit in my fear for how this Chiefs team are going to do, because I need to, especially when talking about a schedule,
yeah.
because those teams are probably more scared of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs than I am of them.
Yeah. 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 I suppose you're right.
Because we are massive.
Because we are juggernaut.
Because we are massive. Oh, right, let's move on.
Let's
right,
move so on, mate.
A few people have said this one, and it goes without saying, but injuries. Yeah. I don't feel like we need to go. And there are a few select players that if they got an injury, touch wood, they won't. I am actually touching wood, but I mean my desk, not something else.
Might as well.
Yeah, yeah. If we do get an injury to certain players, then obviously that will derail our season completely.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names at all, but that goes without saying. There's certain position groups that we can probably take an injury or two and potentially get away with it. I'm thinking maybe receiver now, potentially in the secondary. There's thrown so many guys at that we could probably cope with them. But certain positions, certain players that we can't take injuries, because if we do, that's the season over.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that's similar for any team, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we've gone very youthful on the team as well. I mean, that should kind of help out, because you think youthful players are not probably, you know, they're going to be fit enough. The recovery time is going to be better, blah, 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 blah. But you still see it. You still see it happening, especially when they're transitioning from the college game into the NFL. It's a bit more brutal. It's a bit more brutal on the body and stuff. So, yeah, I can kind of understand the concern about that. And I suppose that leads us into another one, doesn't it, really? The youth and inexperience of the team, especially the fact that we've got a lot of draft picks this year.
A couple of people pointed this out, Christian Gumminger. To name one of them, our friend from Arrowhead Pride. There are a few more, but I'm just going through the tweets now. But I'm sorry if I didn't bring you up. But if you did bring it up, it's a great point. Yeah, inexperience. We know what inexperience can do to any team. To bring it back to my team, Arsenal, they were going really well.
Yeah,
and then they got put into a big spot with loads of pressure on them at their rivals, and they couldn't handle the pressure.
Yeah,
they capitulated because they're youth players. And this is what you're going to get with rookies, with young players. They are going to make mistakes. And it happens everywhere in every walk of life.
Yeah.
Anyone new doing something or under in a pressurized environment, a lot of people will make mistakes, and that's going to happen. And we just have to accept that, yes, some young players may make a mistake that costs us a blown coverage here, an offside there. I'm sorry to bring that up. But, you know, certain things can and most likely will happen that will cause the Chiefs to come down in a big spot.
Yeah.
But we accept that now, and there's no need to apologise going forward. I'll tell you what, that's something I don't like. And it's happened over here far too much recently, is sportsmen apologising for messing up on the pitch.
Yeah.
Why? Like, they miss a penalty. They apologise via Instagram. Why? Like, I just don't get it.
Deal with it.
I don't get it. Like, it's not like we don't, it's not like as fans, we're not thinking you're not trying your hardest. We absolutely accept you're trying your hardest. And that's all we can ask for as fans, is teams giving it their all. And if their all is good enough, then great. But we don't need an apology. Like, the players do not have to apologize for not being at their best. Like, it just, if I mess up at work and it indirectly affects a customer, I'm not going to go, if they up to that customer and apologize every single time I make a minor, oh, sorry, I done a typo there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I done a typo there. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And I just, your typos.
Exactly. I just don't get why sportsmen these days feel the need to get onto Instagram, to get onto Twitter and post these long apologies for making a mistake at sport, at a children's game. Like, what are you getting into? You know, that's a different point.
Exactly.
Anyways, the last one. The last one. Not running the football.
Oh, my God. I feel like this has come from a particular game last year. This is what I feel like is... Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. It's that over-reliance on Patrick Mahomes. It's that reluctance to put the ball in there and having the confidence, I suppose, in the running back. Mm-hmm. Obviously we brought in Ronald Jones, haven't we, to kind of help that running back stable out a bit. And they have looked at that area in the team, and I appreciate what they're doing there. They are making sure that they are stacking up in there in the running back area. But it's one thing having the players there available, but it's another thing actually going out there and using them. And we've said this before about Andy Reid wanting to keep the ball in Mahomes' hand because he is the greatest quarterback of all time that we all love and want him to do well and show something spectacular to dig a game out. But sometimes you really just need to get that other team guessing and thinking, they're going to the run game. Why are they doing it? Why are they going to the run game? And then hit them with something that Mahomes can, hit them with a long bomb later on or something, you know.
And they've got the O-line to do it.
Use that O-line. Use it. Use it for both kind of, both styles. Let's put it that
use
way.
Use the pass to set up the run, then use the run to set up the pass. Just go a little bit more balanced. And people might say, it's a bit boring, but I think we've gone past the MVP 2018 version of Patrick Mahomes. Is never coming back.
Highlight Mahomes.
Is never coming back. Yeah. Like, there will always be highlights from Mahomes. He will always do things in games. You mean, what? Did he just do that? You always have to double take watching Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But that version, that particular version, 2018 version, is gone forever. It has gone to the YouTube highlight reels for forever. Because teams will not allow him to do that type of stuff ever again. We are going to start seeing this more conventional quarterback that still blows our mind in Patrick Mahomes in maybe not necessarily a conventional style offense, but a potentially more balanced offense. And if we can give Mahomes a little break by letting Clyde or Ronald Jones run for 5-6 yards a carry, every now and then do it. That's why not? You've got the O-line. You have literally have the potential to have the best O-line in football this year.
Yeah.
And we've got nasty guys up front that want to run block. Let's run behind those guys. Let's bring those safeties down. Let's fill that box and then let Mahomes go to work. Let Andy Reid go to work and do some crazy stuff. I agree with all the commentators that saying if they don't run the football, then they aren't going to make the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I know analytics are hating me for this right now. But with the way that teams like to play the Chiefs and more particularly Mahomes, I feel like it's a necessity.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely something you've got to utilize it.
Yeah.
You have to.
You'd be mad. You would be mad not to.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.